If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
The future, Connor Bedard, and the Chicago Blackhawks' new era, Tab Banford, the author of a book, a biography about a guy who's, is he 20 years old yet? I think he is, Tab.
Not until the end of July.
There you go. Okay. He's not even 20. And there's a biography about the guy. It's quite incredible. What motivated you to write the book, which isn't only, by the way, about Connor Bedard, greatly is, but it's also about the new era that is coming or here for the Blackhawks, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But what made you say, oh, this guy, there's enough to write about for a book?
Well, a lot of things. And it's kind of, I think I'm kind of at a unique spot personally, where it kind of grabbed me a little bit differently. I think the first thing was watching how, after he got drafted and the Blackhawks brought all of their draft picks and other young guys into Chicago for a week, you know, 4 days of hanging out. They called it the development camp. They used to do it on the ice. Now they don't. But, you know, they were working with, you know, cooks, learning how to, you know, fix their diet. They were going to the Cubs game to throw out the first pitch. Taking boxing lessons to defend themselves a little bit better on the ice, learning how to breathe from Johnny Oduya, things like that. But watching how all these other young players who in their own right were first round picks, captains of junior teams, stars for college teams, the way that they all just gravitated towards him and saw his star power was something that was fascinating to watch. And then the other thing is Connor Bedard's like 16 months older than my oldest son. And me as a dad imagining, you know, what would it be like if my son Matt at 18 years old moved two-thirds of the way across the continent and had TV cameras watching him eat every meal and making sure that he had his skate laces on right and his, you had blogs about what color toothpaste he was using. Like there was a parental element of seeing how this young man dealt with all of the attention and pressure that was around him as well. And so there was a little bit of a parental fascination. And then also professionally writing about the Hawks on a daily basis, seeing all these other young guys gravitated towards him. I think those two elements really grabbed my interest pretty quickly.
Our telephone number 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text with your comments or questions. And being Mother's Day, Tab, I do have some questions related to what you just said. Is it about the way he was raised? For example, Melanie, his mom, when Connor was drafted by the Regina Pats in 2020, she made a decision to relocate with her son to support his hockey career. That move meant that she had to live apart from her husband and her daughter, who ultimately ended up playing hockey as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that that's one of those things that you, as a parent of someone of comparable age, full disclosure, I have a 14-year-old now, which is starting to get into that age range where Connor was when he was making the jump up to the WHL at the junior level, and he plays fairly insane travel baseball. Just where my brain goes with, like, if someone said, hey, go live in a stranger's basement and play quasi-professional baseball or hockey, you know, as a 14, 15-year-old, you know, what do you do? And it's those decisions are so hard to try and, you know, consider as a parent that's not facing it. And I do think that when you start seeing athletes like Connor Bedard that are so unique, not just in the skills that they've developed and what the good Lord gave him for an adaptability and a way to how they pick up the skills as they're learning them, but there's definitely a nurture element that comes into this with how mom and dad and other individuals, coaches, people with Hockey Canada, the way that they all invested in this young man. You see that playing out in how he's able to do an interview after the first period with Chicago media, and after the second period, he's talking to Hockey Night in Canada, or, you know, Biznet on TNT trying to keep a straight face. You know, that the way that he's able to keep his head about himself is definitely something that I would give full marks to his parents for helping him remain focused on the main thing, which is playing puck, and then talking about it as much as he has to is kind of a side distraction, I think, for him more than anything. He's great. I don't want to make it sound like he shies away from the media. He literally sits this stall every single day and looks at the media. He's like, anybody today? And if no one walks over, he's like, no, that's cool. And if we do, and he only gets two questions, he's like, well, that was quick. And sometimes, you know, you'll have the full fleet of media and it'll be, you know, 20 minutes. And he'll look like he needs somebody to come out with the hook and get him out of there. But, you know, he's great with the media, but I think the way that he's able to keep himself present in those situations is definitely full marks to mom and dad.
And in part, is that because he's grown up with it? Melanie, again, is mom. Since it is Mother's Day, I want to bring her into this a little bit. I mean, he was like 10 years old. 10 years old! And agents were contacting the family about him. I mean, did they realize that? I can't imagine that early on, but I guess it's true.
Yeah, I mean, he was still not even considering driver's ed when he was on the cover of the Hockey News magazine as, you know, being billed the second coming. You know, this is going to be the guy that follows in that lineage of Crosby and McDavid. And, you know, he isn't even, you know, in driver's ed yet. So, again, you know, it's something that as a parent, I look at the way that in some ways I think that they were able to keep him sheltered from some of the noise, but also help him to understand that noise was just going to be when you're that good, when you work that hard, when you're that good, when you can do the things that he can do and was doing, there will come the extra attention and notoriety, and there are benefits to that. But the drawbacks are that, you know, you can't go anywhere and do anything, and heaven forbid you don't have a great night. Everyone's going to tell you about it until the next one. So, I think the way that his mom and dad were able to, you know, kind of wrap him a little bit in some understanding of what was going on around him, but also shelter things to an extent as much as they could, is really a marvelous part of this story.
He grew up a Vancouver Canucks fan. Do you think a part of him was, maybe you've asked him about this, disappointed? Because I didn't see this. I knew in the book you wrote about how he grew up being a Canucks fan, but was he disappointed, do you think, that he didn't end up with the Canucks?
He was asked that a few times right around the draft, and the fact that the Canucks, you know, he knew, he's too polite to say it. So he and Kyle Davidson did a pretty good job of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know what's going to happen at 1-1 in the draft. But I think, you know, what was unique was he pretty much knew when they flipped over the card on the draft lottery night, and it was Chicago, that this is where he was going to go. And again, to his credit, he has always been consistent with the team that drafts me. I'm going to be committed to them, and I'm going to go with it. And he'll still tell you, you know, he grew up, you know, he actually makes fun of us old folks, the gray-haired reporters, when someone comes into the room and asks him if he was disappointed in, you know, 2011 when the Canucks lost to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup final, and he says, yeah, four-year-old Connor was heartbroken. Like, I wasn't old enough to, like, realize that, you know, these guys that I was idolizing had just lost, and it just reminds us all how ridiculously old we are. I do think that, you know, for some guys, there's definitely, I want to go play with my hometown. I want to go play. If you've got siblings, like we've heard this chatter out of Vancouver now with Quinn Hughes, whose two brothers play for the New Jersey Devils, that, you know, there might be a thing there. But The other thing to keep in mind is Connor had all sorts of offers to leave his junior team in Regina and go play for a team that had championship aspirations and take his amazing skill set to a team that might have been closer to playing for a Memorial Cup and winning a championship. But he stayed loyal to Regina and didn't want out. He wanted to make the team around himself better. And so there's a loyalty element in there. Again, coming back to the parents that he learned and has exhibited throughout his hockey career, that's incredibly impressive. But I do know that the times that he's been able to go back to Vancouver and play against the Canucks, he might not say the words, but you can tell in his facial expressions that it means a little bit more.
Tab Bamford. So Connor Bedard is drafted by the Blackhawks, and even the performer Drake comments on it. I mean, the pressure was absolutely, I would suggest, even more so than when Kane or Taze arrived in Chicago. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, it's funny how we can, our minds can be overwhelmed by the more recent past than where we were. And if you go back to when Kane and Taves arrived, the Blackhawks were just a couple years away from having been named the worst-run team in all of professional sports, not hockey, all of North American professional sports by Forbes magazine and ESPN. You were coming to Hawks games, and it was going to be mostly fans of the other team. It was going to be 8,000 people, and the product on the ice was hot garbage. And so when you talk about pressure, it was pressure on Patrick Kane because he was the first ever number one overall pick for the franchise. But the fan base was not rabid for a winner and weren't selling out every night because they expected championships. And I think what those two with Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, Nick Jalmerson and Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa and the litany of others were able to do in resurrecting the franchise is what then set the table for there to be, I would argue, 10x the pressure on Bedard that there ever would have been on Patrick Kane, because there wasn't pressure to become the face of the franchise, because for the Blackhawks, there hadn't been a face of the franchise in almost a full decade since they traded Chris Chelios.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've been through the longest tenured captain in the history of the organization. We watched multiple future Hall of Famers come through. And the expectation now from the city at large is that the Blackhawks are a model franchise. So let's get back to winning. And I think everyone expected him to come in and be the 24-year-old version of Patrick Kane and not an 18-year-old Connor Bedard, who was still going to learn and go through the ropes and not have all of those other guys that I mentioned, the Patrick Sharps, the Duncan Keiths, the Brent Seabrooks, who had been in the league for multiple years before Kane ever got here. He did not have the benefit of having some younger but still established veterans around him who were reaching their own primes. He was brought in, and he was the horse that was dragging the carriage instead of riding along with all the other showpieces, as it was for Kaner.
Well put perspective. But he didn't do badly. He became only the fifth 18-year-old in league history to have a five-point game, for example. I mean, I would argue he had a good first season, and he broke his jaw on top of everything else. And some players on some teams, I'd argue, and you wrote about this too, were kind of after him at times.
Oh yeah, if you're the second coming, or you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, you're going to be the guy that ushers in the next generation of the golden era of the NHL. If you're 26, you're like, I'm not done. Like, I'm not retiring tomorrow. I'm not dead. I'm still here. Like, if you're Nathan MacKinnon or Cale Makar, or these guys that are still like arguably entering their prime or playing through the best years of their career, absolutely, you're going to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, and you're going to see what this kid's got. And so, absolutely, you know, he had everybody's attention, not only because of the cameras that were on him and the expectations on him, but he was also on a really, really bad team. And when you're the best player on a really bad team, I mean, we saw it with Patrick Kane after Alex DeBrincat left, and he was established. He was already on his way to the Hall of Fame in Toronto. And it's hard when you're the best offensive player on a team that doesn't have a lot of offensive sparks to go around. You're going to get not only the best defenders on the other team, but you're going to get their best checks. You're going to get every ounce of energy going after you because they're going to make somebody else beat them. I think the way that he played through that level of pressure, again, as an 18-year-old, but then also came back from breaking a jaw in the middle of the season and went right back to competing like nothing ever happened, was really, really impressive.
Absolutely so. How about last season, his second season?
I think we saw a lot of steps from Connor Bedard in the right direction. And I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough, even with the folks in Chicago, because I think there's this clash right now around the Connor Bedard story between people that are around him and cover him on a daily basis, and then kind of this macro media. He's young. He isn't going to want to be on a terrible team. He's not happy. He's going to want out. You hear all that noise from some national folks, and especially the folks up in Canada. And then when you talk to him on a daily basis, he kind of laughs that stuff off. Again, the loyalty element is something that comes out so frequently with him. But the Blackhawks' brilliance of I mentioned earlier, the development camp being off the ice, is all of these young guys have developed relationships, and they're friends. And Connor Bedard played. He won a gold medal in the World Juniors with guys who would eventually become his teammates in Chicago. Colton Dock, Ethan Del Mastro, and Kevin Korchinski were all on that World Juniors team, and they skated around the ice after the game, and everybody in Chicago was like, oh, they're going to be teammates, like half praying, and we didn't even have, you know, the Pope to work with us on that one. But he's got these relations, and he keeps up with all these young guys. He talks to the front office, and they're like, hey, what's this guy doing in junior? What's this guy doing in college? And now that you see these young guys coming up, the Frank Nazars of the world, you see Del Mastro now coming up and making an impact in the NHL. You see how Alex Vlasic has emerged. He's only 23, and it feels like he's been here for a decade already. But you see these young guys starting to come up, and you're starting to see that wave, that first wave of the future that we've been promised since Kyle Davidson became the GM. And you see more life and energy from Bedard on the bench, and you see more life from him at practice because he's got other guys who are like 18, 19, 20, 21 years old out there, and they're going through this for the first time with him, and they're all they're living their best life because they're in the NHL. And it isn't like you've been in the NHL for 15 years and you're trying to, you know, drag your butt through another season and try and get home in one piece. They're living their best life together, and I think that's where the fans should see the hope, and the way that Bedard's been able to start elevating other players' games along the way is something else that's really stood out.
So we
and now
only
that, again, you've got these exciting young guys coming in with him.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't all going to be on him.
All right, so we only have 1 minute left. What is it going to look like this season? I mean, are the Blackhawks finally going to make the playoffs?
I would love to say yes. It's a very long road to climb for them to get in the playoffs. And we don't know who the head coach is yet. We don't know what they're going to do in free agency or the draft yet. I will say I do believe that with the young guys that we've already started to see come up and the next wave that's coming after that, they will be significantly better. But they got to get the head coach first, and then they got to figure out what they're doing in the draft and spend money wisely. But I do think that they will be a much, much better team in next year and in the years to come because you're going to have more guys like Frank Nazar surrounding Connor Bedard and taking pressure off of a truly elite hockey player.
I also think that my late friend Rocky Wirtz was right. If it's not easy to find on TV, you're not going to be able to build that loyalty regarding fan base. I think he was correct about that. And I think that's important as well. The book is called The Future, Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks New Era. And Tab Bamford, the author, is optimistic, clearly. Tab, thank you so much for joining us on Mother's Day.
Appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day to all the lovely, lovely mothers out there.